Great preparation for our message as we focus on enduring hardship well. Enduring hardship well. So ways that we can go through that. But turn in James chapter 1 for our verse today. Book of James, that's towards the end of the New Testament, almost to the very back, before Revelations, before Peter, before the epistles of John. We'll be focusing on how to endure our hardship well, how to do it well. Our series here has been on life joy. How to find joy in life. There's a lot of people, and I found myself in this place, that joy was elusive. I mean, I'm okay, and life is good, even through the goods and the bad times, that there is this sense of, what did we say that joy was? Happiness is based on circumstances, right? Things are good, I'm happy. Things are bad, I'm not happy. Joy is happiness in spite of circumstances. And we've taken it a little bit deeper. Joy finds its substance in our relationships. And if we don't really have joy without relationships, I keep going back to roller coasters without somebody to ride them with, they're just not as much fun. And life without relationship is missing that element of joy. It's that I'm glad to be doing this together with you. I'm glad to be together with you. That's what joy is. And when we're going through hardships, it's being able to say, this is tough, but God, I'm glad that we're walking through this together. Or with somebody. I'm glad we're in this together. We're going to make it through this together. Have you ever had one of those why did I do that moments? Anybody? Hands raised? Yeah. If that wasn't you, it will be one day. Those times where like, you just want to take it back. I wish I hadn't done that. It was just a bad choice. And that causes you to either not be glad to be with yourself because you're kicking yourself here for what you did, or it makes it hard to be glad to be with another person because this just made it so hurtful to our relationship, or even it steals the joy with God. Those moments can, those why did I do that moments, because now we tend to run from God, right? We don't want to, we distance ourselves because we don't want to look at him and say, yeah, that I shouldn't have done, that was awful. But how about, have you ever had one of those, it may or may not have been perfect moments, but I'm so glad that I did that. Have you had those moments before? Where it's like, you know what, that was hard, it was even messy, I did my best, it wasn't perfect, and maybe it was far from perfect, but you know, you said, I'm so glad I did that. I'm glad I did that hard thing. We're talking about that with the kids a little bit. Sometimes doing the right thing isn't easy, right? Times of suffering, times of hardship, times of pain. Anybody sign up for anything coming up here? You got a hardship? Yeah, put me down. I'll do that. Sign me up for pain for the month of July because I want to spend my summer just in, you know, doing some. We don't sign up for pain. We don't sign up for hardship. But it's part of life, right? And how we handle them will either fill our lives with joy, even hardships, or it will drain our lives of joy. Let's stand together as we dig into our verse. We read his word, just like we have the kids standing up, because we want them to know that the Bible is important. It's God's word. It's truth, and we want to honor and respect it. And if nothing else, they'll remember, I remember we always stood to read the Bible. They'll remember that, right? All right, let's read together. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Lord, would you do a work in us today? I know there's many people here who are going through hardships. They come and go in life. And so whenever you gather a group of people, Lord, there's going to be some of us that are going through some tough stuff. So help us, Lord God, to be able to find more and more of the life joy that your scripture is just full of references for us to be joyful people. Lord, teach us. Help us, Lord, to become more and more the people of joy that you created us to be. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, yeah, there's some wrong ways that we can deal with hardship, okay? Just some quick ones here. Wrong attitudes of dealing with hardship. Why me? That comes up. Why does this either why did this have to happen to me, or sometimes where the why does it always happen to me, right? It always, if there's something going to go wrong, it always happens to me. But that's not true, is it? No. And the reality is, why not you? Why should you be special and not have troubles in your life, right? We're all in the same boat. So the why me is one of the wrong attitudes. The trouble-free dream is another bad attitude. Somehow or other, our world has begun to get the idea that everything, we shouldn't have problems in our lives. And somehow or other, we should be able to get rid of every kind of problem. And my goal is a problem-free life. Anybody ever going to reach the goal of a problem-free life? Yeah, no. And if you manage to have it, you won't have it long, because surely enough, something's going to happen. This is life. This is life. So this idea of I've got to put all of my energies and focus into eliminating problems. What are we spending all of our time and energies on? Me. I need to be problem-free. That's not what life ever was intended to be. Well, it was intended to be that back in the Garden of Eden, but unfortunately we sinned and kind of screwed that up. So this is what we get. Or the blame game. Sometimes people get upset when something goes wrong, and they want, somehow there's a reason for this, and either someone or something is the reason that this trial came. And so they want to figure out, just so they can say, well, if this hadn't happened or if that person hadn't done it, then I wouldn't have this problem. And that's just, it's a bad way to look at hardship, because we're always looking to blame somebody else. And sometimes there's no blame at all, right? Sometimes it's just life. It's just life. Last one is a fear of pain, a fear of the unknown. A fear of the future and what this might bring, this trouble might bring, and I don't know what it's going to be or look like. And that's kind of reveals to us a little bit of our desire for life to be in control. I want to be able to control it. And when problems happen and I don't know how they're going to work out, we're kind of revealing that's that control need that we need to have. It's a self-dependence. And how in control of the future are you? Anybody got that wrapped up? Yeah. We don't. And so fear of the unknown, fear of pain. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with the fear, the concern. This is, we're human. Like I said, nobody's signing up for pain in July, right? You know, nobody wants that. But to try to control is a false attitude that's not realistic. So Scripture teaches us how we can endure hardship well, and out of that bring more joy into our lives. So it starts off with, consider it pure joy. I kind of like the King James Version better myself, count it all joy. When I think of consider it pure joy, when I'm going through a hardship, pure joy means, this is so much fun. And it's just not. It's just not. We're counting it joy. What's joy? It's, I'm glad to be together with you in this. We're in this together. This is my hardship. I'm going to count this one of those joy experiences. We're in this together. I'm not considering it a wonderful thing. I'm just saying I'm going to call this a joy moment because, God, we're in this together. Or for me and Terry, okay, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this, okay? Count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds. Remember what Jesus said about trials? He said, in this world you will have troubles and trials. He says, but take heart. Why? Because he's overcome the world. He's overcome the world. What's Jesus really saying to them? And he told them this just after he said, I'm going to be crucified and died and going back to my Father in heaven. So they're like, what? He says, you know what? You're going to have troubles. Take heart. I've overcome the world. The problems this world brings, I've got it covered. I've already won. Okay? I already won in the big picture. So we're in this together, and you're on the winning side. That's what Jesus is saying, right? It made me think of a movie that, how many Lord of the Rings, how many people have seen the movie? Yeah. Read the books? What? I see one. Okay. I've read them probably 10 or 15 times. Great books. But in the end, the two main characters, Frodo and Sam, little hobbit dudes that are taking the ring of power, the ring of doom, and taking it into the heart of the enemy's land and destroying it. So all kinds of hardships that these two little fuzzy-footed guys have gone through. And they're finally at the end. They manage to throw the ring into the fire, and so the enemy was going to, the evil enemy was going to be destroyed, and they're sitting on a rock, and the world is just falling apart around them. The enemy's domain is being destroyed around them, and they're sitting there with each other and saying, and one of the things they said was, I'm glad to be together with you at the end of all things. And what a powerful picture of joy. You know, there's lava and rocks and stuff's falling, mountains falling down behind them, and they're like, you know what, I'm glad that we're together. I'm glad to be together. That, they were counting it joy. They were counting that scene that they were in the middle of joy. That's what that looks like. Take a minute. Just close your eyes for a moment. It won't take you long, but think of a trial that you're going through, something that has been a burden to you, a struggle for you, a pain in your life and in your heart. Now, look to God and say, I'm glad that you're with me in this. I'm glad we're together in this. Because he's that short of a prayer away. So glad, Father God, that we're together in this. That's what counting it all joy means. Saying, okay, this is tough, but I'm going to count it as a joy because we're in this together. That's a beautiful thing. But there's more to it than that, and that's what's awesome, because the next verse goes on to say, when you face these trials and you're counting it a joy, Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith, this test, is going to produce perseverance. God is doing something good in your life. He has a purpose in the midst of this trial. There's something that God, because Romans 8:28 tells us that God does what? Anybody? He works out all things to the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's what God's doing in all things, and that includes trials. He's looking to bless you, to change you, to grow you, to mature you, or to touch another through you. He's doing something in the midst of your pain. So be thankful in the midst of your pain. Easy? No. Again, to clarify, we're not thanking God for the pain. God doesn't ask you to say, I'm so glad that my heart is broken. I'm so glad that my loved one is ill. That's not realistic. And he doesn't ask us to think that way. What he's saying is, in the midst of your pain, be thankful, God, that you're with me and that you're doing something in the midst of this. You're redeeming what is painful and hard, and you're going to make something good come out of it. Thank you, God. Appreciation is what flips our relational switch on, right? When we stop and say, thank you, God, it gets us out of our left brain, logical thinking, and returns us to this relationship with God again. Appreciation flips that switch on for us. So we begin to find joy that he is in this together with me. And I'm not finding this appreciation just because he's God and he's good and he's powerful. I'm glad to have him on my side. But more than that, because I know him. I am in this growing relationship where I'm knowing him more and more. My relationship is becoming more and more of my life than the try to fix it, check off the list of getting things done side of me. I want that more and more of my relationship with God to just becoming more and more of who I am. More the being than the doing. So God's working something good. We're thankful for that. And James is saying, let perseverance finish its work. There's something that's working out. Allow God to do what he's doing, to work out in your life. There's something he's doing. Align yourself with what he's doing. Take the time to say, even in the midst of your trial, God, I know you're here. We seek him for comfort, right? We seek him for his strength. And we also say, God, I know you're doing something. So I want to be attuned to what you're doing through me. And perseverance is going to be is one of the things that he's doing in you. Now, perseverance, I was thinking, is this something that you get good at? Or is it something that you become stronger in? I decided that perseverance was more of a muscle type thing than a skill type thing. Does that make sense? Okay, the more that, last night I went for a 3-mile run. And I was about halfway through it, and I'm thinking, I'm not winded at all. I mean, I'm in pretty decent shape. Why? Because I already ran like 9 miles this week, and my body's used to it. I am the muscles in my body, my lungs have developed the capacity to run, so that when I run a shorter run of 3 miles, it's just not that big of a deal. I have developed the muscle in my body to do that, and the lung strength. Perseverance is the same. The more that you are developing it, the more you do it, God gives you a greater and greater capacity to persevere. Have you ever known people that all it takes is the smallest thing and it's just like their world is completely exploded? They just don't have the capacity to endure hardship. And it can be for lots of different reasons. It could be that they're going through something that has just stolen all of their energy and ability. You know, if all of a sudden I got the flu, how do you think running 3 miles would be for me? I'd be a wreck, you know. Things can happen that can steal people's ability and their strength to persevere. But the more that we strengthen ourselves in this, the more capacity we have to endure hardship and endure it well. Perseverance is a pretty powerful thing. And the only way you develop perseverance is by, persevering. Yep, you start and the more that you do it, the stronger you get. And the more that we do it with God in our hearts, we find that our life joy also, we have a greater capacity for joy. We learn more and more that, God, you're in this. I've seen you in my hardships in the past, and I know you're in this now. Our life joy has a capacity as well. And the more that we our experience with God, our relationship with God grows, the greater our joy grows, the greater capacity we have for it. And we're able to let perseverance finish its work. It's doing something in our lives. It has something else to work out. And you know what? What is working out in our lives? Oh, I guess we got the fill in the blank thing there. Because it's more than, he's working out more than just perseverance. He's doing, I don't know. And that's the thing. We need to be aligning ourselves with God and saying, all right, God, I know you're wanting me to persevere, but you're also doing something else in this. So Lord, what is it? We don't know. It may be something as simple as being a blessing to the person next to you at work in the midst of your trial. I was talking to somebody, and they were talking about somebody they were trying to share their faith with several times. And they all just kind of said, yeah. Glad it's working for you, not for me. And then the Christian went through a difficult thing. And they were enduring their hardship well. They were standing strong in their faith, and they were just trusting God. And this other person's tune started to change, and they're like, how are you doing this? How are you even doing this? And this would just destroy me, and yet you're persevering, and you're staying strong, and your faith is even. I'd been saying, good, thanks a lot, God, for all the troubles, you know. And this person all of a sudden started waking up because the person was enduring their hardship well. That may have been the perseverance and that God was going to use them for. We don't always know, but we want to align ourselves and say, God, what are you doing? Show me. Help me to see so that in the midst of my pain, if you want to use me for something else, here am I, God. Use me, send me, and just have a heart to listen. But he's working out perseverance so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. See, God's always trying to do something and use our hardship for something. We know it's through the trials that we grow, right? We just when everything's going good, that's you know, the spoiled rich kid thing, you know, if they got everything handed to them, are they ever really to grow and develop character and integrity and strength? It's character, maturity, which is basically maturity is being able to think about myself and others all at the same time. That's what maturity is. It's being able to consider me and other issues at the same time, not just me, or even not just being a people pleaser and I'm just always worried about everybody else's problems. It is being able to be concerned about me and others. That's maturity. Also, maturity is doing the hard things even when I don't feel like it, right? Maturity is being able to do tough stuff even when I don't feel like doing it. That's maturity. And that's one of the things that perseverance is working out in us, an ability to grow and be mature. So when we're in the midst of trials, we stop and we say, we take time to ask and say, Lord, tell me what you're working out here. You know, look around you. Seek counsel from somebody. You know, I'm going through this and I'm not trying to figure out what God's trying to do. Sometimes God speaks through somebody else into your life. He gives other people words of knowledge that help them to see a perspective that you can't see because you're too close, right? And God's able to do that. Sometimes just journal. Take time to listen. Do we believe that if we ask God to speak to us about something that he'll do that? Do we? Do we really believe that Jesus will really speak to us in prayer? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if we say, God, would you show me something about this situation? And we begin to listen and even write it down. He'd be like, nope, if you're going to write it down, I'm not telling you nothing. Sorry. No, he wants to speak truth. The Holy Spirit was put in us for the purpose of what? Revealing truth to us and giving us counsel and comfort, sure. So seek, Lord, what are you doing here? And he will help you to hear and become mature and complete. So how do we endure hardship well with that? It starts with, and we started with the being thankful, remaining relational. It's real easy when things get hard to all of a sudden say, ugh. You know, I had an opportunity. I went to do some marriage counseling last night, and it was kind of a long drive. It's nobody that goes here that anybody knows, really. So I went up. I'd given them a little bit of homework. Showed up, 6:30. Oh, no, they're at the pool. Okay. Oh, they'll be right down. So I'm like, all right. They showed up a few minutes later. Okay. Remain relational. Relationships are bigger than the problem. So just put it aside. So did you guys look at the verse that I told you to look up? And they looked at each other. Oh, no, no. Yes, we did. No. They tried to fumble around, and no, we didn't. And they hadn't the last time either. And again, you know, I'm like, okay, see the priority here. But then God just said, it's relationship is bigger than the problem. And I pushed it aside and said, all right, well, we're going to go over it. I did have a talk with them about, you know, I'm not doing this for the money because I don't charge people to marry them and do their counseling. I said, I'm driving out here because I care about you guys and I see that he's doing something in your life, you know. And we had a good conversation about following through. And then we moved on. So we put the relationship first. Remain relational towards God and others. Even in the midst of hardship. We don't whine or broadcast our troubles to the world. I know there's plenty of opportunity to Twitter it and Facebook post it and text it and whatever else. But to endure hardship, well, we're not looking for the pity party, okay? And Facebook and Twitter are the worst places to communicate with people, so please don't. If you got something to say and you're having a trouble with somebody, do not put a post out about it, even if it's veiled and they're the only ones that are going to know what I'm talking about. You have a problem, you have a conversation. Have a conversation. I've seen, but you know, we need support, don't we? When we're going through stuff, so what do? You go to people that you know are going to be able to support you and pray for you and walk with you through it, because we do need support in hard times. We don't just need pity. What we need is real, loving, caring, I'll walk with you, right? There's that relationship. There's that joy that we can say, you know what? I'm glad that you're here with me. I'm glad that I could talk to somebody, and we're gonna be able to walk through this together. And that's what we need. So that is a good way to endure hardship well. Enduring hardship by caring. We still care about the needs of others. I see a lot of people in difficult places when they are dealing with the death of a loved one, or they're in the hospital because they've got an illness, or they've got a loved one has an illness. And I can't tell you the number of times when the people who need help the most are sitting there being a blessing to the nurses. They're being kind and saying, thank you so much for helping me. Being, you know, you could, a lot of, how many people are crummy patients? Nobody's raising their hands. I know you're out there. Yeah, sometimes we get to be really crummy patients and we get cranky. And I've seen people that are just a blessing to the people that are or the person in the bed next to them. And they're just kind and encouraging. I mean, that is still caring for the needs of others. That is enduring hardship well. When you are still able to care about others in the midst of your own hardship. That's acting like ourselves, right? That's who we are. We're called to be kind to others in the midst of trials. I was at the young adult retreat Friday night, because I went and set up the camper. I hung around the campfire, and they were asking questions about sanctification in one of their previous groups. I'm like, sanctification, really? Not something I expected the 18 and 20-year-olds to be wanting to talk about, but they're wanting. And so Terry said, could you just have a discussion with them? And it was great. Made me stop and think it through. And then I realized that, you know what sanctification is? It's acting like ourselves. It's us behaving like we were created and designed to act and behave. Set apart for God's purposes. That's who we're supposed to be. We're acting like who we are. God's new creations in Christ. I'm like, wow. So we had a great conversation about that. And we do that in the midst of our trials. And we don't give up hope. In the midst of our difficulties, we return to joy often. In the midst of our trials, we remember whose we are, and we go back and say, God, thank you for being with me. We are thankful. Appreciation gets our relational circuits humming again, and we start to say, thank you, God, for being with me in this. We return to joy often as we can in the midst of our trials. It's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice, because we can just be like, oh, this is so hard, and I'm dealing with this, and we can grind that out for days and weeks and months, really. At some point, we have to stop and say, thank you, God. Thank you. You're with me in this. I'm going to return to that joy. I'm glad to be with you, God, in the midst of this. How I'd like to wrap up today is just in a time of prayer. And I'm going to ask, I'm just going to explain it. I'd like to ask those that are just, there's something going on in their lives or going through a hardship. If you would like, I would love for us to be able to come around you and pray for you. So all we're going to do is those that have a burden on their hearts to raise their hands. And 3, 4, 5, 6 people will gather around them and just pray God's comfort, his strength, his blessing over them. And just pray for a few minutes. We'll have some music going. And when you're done, we'll be dismissed. Some groups will finish before others, and that's okay. You can just go ahead and start chatting amongst yourselves. So I just would like those that are going through hardship, if you would, allow your family to come around you and pray for you and bless you. And you don't have to give details. If you just say, I'm going through a hard time, that's fine. If you want to give just a short 30-second update on what you're going through, that would be fine too. Would you allow us to bless you and pray for you?